the Bible. I never had a course in the kingdom of God, though teaching about it is a large part of the New Testament. And large portions of the Bible, in fact. And remembering that Jesus instructed his disciples to seek the kingdom first, I find it passing strange that so little people want to teach us how to seek the kingdom of God. Yeah. He said, I want you to do that above everything else. This is your priority. And he also told his disciples, I give you the keys. The keys
to the kingdom.
No. Everybody that I heard said two. It's not two. We already in by being born again. But now what we study is how to have the keys of the kingdom. To turn those doors, to go into those places that Jesus has prepared for us. To understand what his plan was from the beginning. And what he and what the wonderful end is going to be. You have to listen to some of the earlier messages to hear how it ends up, because I always read books last first. Because I want to see if a book's going to turn out good, and if it doesn't, sometimes I start in the middle. But I don't just go like some obedient book reader and read. It was a cold and dreary night. So anyway, I know that in the end, there's a marvelous end concerning the kingdom of God. The Bible starts with God's kingdom, and it ends with it. Now, some people are not really aware that it starts with God's kingdom. by the way, if you seek the kingdom, you seek something, you study it, you give yourself to it, you understand it, you position yourself to living according to it, you put aside other things that hinder your dedication to your main object and seek the kingdom first. I don't blame you one bit if you're a little fuzzy and hazy about what in the world the kingdom is. I don't think the disciples fully understood it themselves. And remember when they said over in the book of Acts, now is this when you're going to restore the kingdom, they asked him. He said, well, it's not been given to everybody to know that, but tarry in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. And so the understanding of the kingdom has been opening up and opening up, really and truly, since the Lord put Adam and Eve on this earth. Here's something very interesting. God had a plan in the beginning in which he put Adam and Eve on this earth. Now, we're not going to linger here because you know this, and I've preached it. I've preached all about it. I've preached what somebody thought about it. I've preached what other people ought to think about it and how maybe we wouldn't do that if we got that chance again. But in the beginning, God created Adam and earth. But it's very interesting because we're always wanting to know what God wants us to do and what I'm here for. I hear this a lot from people. I want to know what I'm here for. Well, if you will do the thing at hand and be faithful to God and rejoice in doing it, then you're pleasing him right now, and he will lead you very finely and directly. Absolutely. Into what he has for you. But don't sit around till you find out what you're supposed to do, but because for all you know, that could be a lie of the devil, which it is. So, God's original plan. Now, I want you to listen carefully. I'm not going to cover a lot of territory. I'm going to end up with a few scriptures to give you. But I do want you to really get hold of what I am sharing, because it will be a different look at things that you've seen before. God's original plan was to rule planet Earth. How do we know that? How do we know that this is what God's original plan is? You know, by the time you and I got here, people had messed up a lot of things, right? But originally, God's plan was to rule earth from heaven. And how was he going to do that? Well, he commissioned Adam and Eve. And he told them to have dominion. Dominion means rule, authority, be in charge of. All kinds of things. He didn't leave out anything. Replenish, it says, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. I can't wait to subdue the abortion rights situation. I'm working on subduing that because my Father has left that with me and with you. And we are here to rise up above. Any time you find yourself being a part of the Ain't It Awful Club, just pull that back and put your energy into the Determined to Change It Club. Why should I say how awful it is? That's already been said. Let's say how we're going to bring it back to God's will and purpose. Amen. So, thank you. You can always count on a converted nun to really stand behind you because they believe in their pastors. Isn't that right? Amen. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it. You are looking at a very unsubdued earth at this moment. I'd be tearing down half of the billboards and half of the media, and if I were in charge of subduing, it would look very different. Subdue means to keep from doing its own will. This is what the whole purpose is. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. And we all know the plan of the original story. And the result was the failure of Adam and Eve. They did not succeed. You can't succeed disobeying God. They disobeyed God. They lost dominion of what was given to them by God. God said, have dominion. You know, some of you have dominion over some fish, crawfish, things like that. But if we have dominion over the animals, why is it that they bite us? We run from the bears. No, we don't. When you have dominion over something, you don't run from it. So Adam and Eve lost that dominion, but we are gaining it back, not just to the bears. But he said, I want you to have dominion over the whole world. No, I give you, take. He told us to take dominion. We just, well, that's how it is. That's how the world is. Now, the Lord shows us step by step which part of the world and what situation he wants us to take dominion in next. And we do that obediently. And then we are fulfilling what he's asked us to do. But they disobeyed God. They lost dominion that was given to them by God. And the dominion was forfeited to Satan, the great deceiver. Is that right? All the world lies in the evil one. The scripture says, in time, God sent Jesus Christ, who's called the last Adam. He's called this because he gave his life nailed to a cross and shed his blood in order to redeem man, redeem for mankind. Redeem means to buy back, to get back. All that Adam lost and had stolen from him and all that he gave back, Jesus came to this earth to give it back to us. Okay, help me have a moving experience here. And I am glad that the good news is that God wants to restore the kingdom to us. The kingdom that he gave us to be over, that Adam and Eve lost, God's desire is to restore it back to us again because Adam and Eve lost it. But the last Adam, Jesus Christ, got it back again. And God will yet establish his rule in the earth. Jesus' act of perfect obedience gave to those who believed in him and his death on the cross the right to have a kingdom conferred on them. Now, you probably have not paid much attention to this scripture. You picked up the wrong bottle. You brought me the one that's almost empty. Something about that is not right. Thank you, Jay. Jesus' first main announcement that he had come, Jesus said, I have come to preach the kingdom. And he told them that he has to go to other cities and preach the kingdom there. You know, it's really something that Jesus did all this preaching about the kingdom, and so few heard. It's like some of the things I hear. I said in the class the other day that somebody was saying this or that, and I said, well, I preached a sermon on that, and they just laughed at me like anybody would remember it, you know. But Jesus preached, he kept preaching about the kingdom, but he's going to give to them the keys of the kingdom. And then he's going to teach them. Have you noticed how many stories there are about the kingdom of God? Jesus says, the kingdom of God is like. Did you ever have the feeling, well, I'd like to be in that? I mean, he's telling you exactly what the kingdom is like and what it's about. But people did not really press to enter into it like they later got the understanding to do that. He said his main announcement was that he had come to confer a kingdom on those that were listening to him. Verse 29 of Luke 22, I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Wow, are you kidding me? See, you and I just talk, but when Jesus speaks, he says something. Yes, he does. We don't necessarily say anything when we talk, do we? We just jabbering around. But Jesus has eternal words, and they're powerful, and they're true. And his promises always come to pass. He said, I've appointed a kingdom unto you. If you don't like that, too late, it's already happened. I appoint unto you a kingdom, and my Father has appointed, as my Father appointed to me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, what did you do just to accept that and say the figuring out's up to him? Right? You don't have any idea how that's going to happen, do you? I mean, do you really?
No.
But it is good to believe it, right?
Yes.
He says that we're going to actually sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. In verse 32, he confronts them not to be afraid. Fear not, little children. He assures them it is the Father's desire to give them the kingdom. Don't think of the kingdom of God as some far-out thing that's going to come someday. You know, you don't know when it would ever come. But the scripture says you're going to rule with him. And it also says you're going to rule on this earth. Let's go with the things that we know have been promised. This is the Father's will. He is not withholding. The entrance is through being born again and believing what Jesus is doing to restore the kingdom. In Isaiah 45:16, I want you to start listening very carefully. Some of these scriptures you haven't seen or you ignored them. But I want to point out to you there's something important written here. This is Isaiah 45:16. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he established it, he created it not in vain. It wasn't just one of these planets flung out there. He formed it to be inhabited. Now here's my theory, don't tell anybody because they'll say I'm ignorant and unscientific. I believe Earth is the place to live. I mean, I believe Earth was the best planet for God to choose Adam and Eve and put them on. And he put it there so that it would be inhabited. There, you know, we call some places the uninhabitable parts of the earth, you know, like Siberia and the North and South Pole. When I was in New Zealand, they were always trying to get me to go to the South Pole. About as interesting as when I was in Ukraine, they were always trying to get me to go to Chernobyl. Now, who wants to go to any of these places? The coldest place you've ever been and the awfulest place you've ever heard of. How many know what Chernobyl is? Okay, that's where they had the great nuclear explosion. But those people go there. They have tours there. No, thank you. I found better places to go. And then let's read this other scripture, Psalm 115. Verse 16 says, the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's. All the heavens belong to the Lord. But the earth has he given to the children of men. Y'all stop and think what that means sometime. He gave it to us, and he counted on enough of his people understanding what he was saying that we would begin to take dominion and give a kingdom testimony. You know, everywhere the hand of God is extended, as Jesus himself said, then they will say the kingdom of God has come near to us. We are to live such a kingdom culture life that we give an example of some of the things that are happening in heaven. And little by little, we show this earth what heaven is like. Adam and Eve fell from what God gave them. They fell from what they had. Now, let me ask you a question. Did they fall from heaven? No. Where did they fall from? All right. So they never were in heaven. Lucifer was. They were created on earth with the commission of bringing the kingdom culture to the earth. And they missed it. All Adam and Eve had to do, if you'd been Adam and Eve, all you had to do was to commune with God every day. The scripture says God came and walked with them in the garden and communed with them every day. And then through that communion and that relationship, he would communicate to them what he wanted them to do. They were there to dress the garden, to cause any kind of expansion and so forth, and perhaps to teach others what they needed to learn. They were created on earth with the commission of bringing the kingdom culture. All he had to do was commune with God and see that God's will and his way was established in the earth. Adam and Eve lost the power to rule in the earth. They had it, but they fell from dominion. They fell from reigning on the earth. Now, much of Christendom, that is, say, people who call themselves Christians, or even people who are Christians, many are fallen from dominion. They don't even dominate the cats and the dogs. Sometimes I'm pretty sure my dog dominates me. I got to laugh at it last night. Some funny thing happened. I think John was moving around. It's a big king-size bed. I think John was moving around and whatever. And Star just suddenly woke, and he must have been laying with his head hanging over the bed and just fell right off the bed. And so I sat up in the bed and looked at him, make sure he's okay, and he was looking like. And I said, why don't you come back up here with me? Come on. Now he's afraid of me. He doesn't remember who I am. But people who just let life happen to them don't rule anything. Hello. How long has it been since some men ever said where they'd like to go and eat? Or is it always the wife's choice? I'm not saying you should be in charge of your wife. I'm just saying we don't know how many things we don't have dominion over until you realize how different things happen to you and you don't set it straight. Some people have never had dominion over their children because Dr. Spock twisted their heads the wrong way and now they don't know what to do. He just said, let children do whatever they want to, but the Bible says foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. If you live the kingdom way by kingdom principles, you would rear your children according to the word of God. What gives you the right to be a kingdom person and raise your children in another kingdom? Some people think they'll raise them in that other kingdom and suddenly when they're 18, when they grow up, then they'll become Christians. Right? That's why some parents don't have their children come to church. If I make him go to church, he'll hate it when he gets older. Now, if you would teach him right, he wouldn't hate it and he would come. Oh, you don't want me to get off on these areas, do you? But the Lord gave us, he gave man dominion. He wants us to have dominion. And so since Adam and Eve lost that dominion, then Jesus Christ came through the cross and through the blood of Jesus Christ to make every person redeemed people. He is become our redemption and our sanctification. He's everything we need to pick up that wonderful calling to the kingdom of God. And we are called into his glorious kingdom. And he wants us to be, I taught last week, citizens. And Paul says, as his ambassadors, we're talking to all of you, receive Jesus Christ. And this is what we're here for, is to say what God wants to say and to bring people into all the blessings that they missed by resisting the will of God. Now, all of you already knew all that. Is that right? You already knew all that?
Did I just...
Now, let me see if we can expand and get just a little further down the road. I'm trying to do these kingdom messages in such a way that you won't go home looking at each other saying, what did she say? Did you get... Every now and then I hear a preacher or someone just give a word or whatever, and and I'll have someone say to me after church, oh, what was the gist of what he said? And then I just start talking about somebody else. Something else, because sometimes I don't know what people are talking about. But I really do want to make it so simple that you'll know that there is a kingdom. It's the kingdom of God. God was entering into this agreement with Adam and Eve, and they failed. So he sent Jesus, that through his shed blood and through the power of the cross, that if we would believe in him, that we would become citizens of the kingdom of God, and we would inherit the kingdom of God. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Jesus talks about it, and others in the Bible talk about inheriting. I told you last week, the ones who would not inherit the kingdom of God. That's the kind of sermons that don't get preached very much. God's plan from the beginning was to have people who would represent heaven and earth from heaven, represent heaven, represent heaven and come to earth to represent them from heaven. That's why we pray, kingdom of God come and will of God be done. Though Adam and Eve were not directly from heaven, they were here to represent heaven. And you weren't from heaven either. I can tell. Now, here's some couple of very interesting scriptures I want to leave with you today. In Luke 16:15, the scripture says, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it. You know that, and Jesus also said, the smallest one in the kingdom of God is greater than John. Do you remember that he said that? That if you are a citizen in the kingdom of God, you are great. You have a great future. You have a great power that's been offered to you. The law and the prophets were until John. You see that what was preached before John, they preached the law, which is the Pentateuch, and they preached all of the prophets and all the other things in the Old Testament. But then God sent John the Baptist, and John said the same thing Jesus said, repent, For the kingdom is at hand. And he was saying, now is the time to become a part of the kingdom of God. And God has conferred on Jesus a kingdom. And Jesus has conferred that kingdom unto us. That means he has appointed his very same kingdom to us, for us to be a part of that kingdom forever with him. So the law and the prophets were told John, since that time the kingdom of God is preached, since now that it's been preached, every man presses into it. People won't press into the kingdom until somebody preaches it. And I don't know. I've heard the kingdom of God may be preached in conferences and all, but I've never heard the kingdom of God preached in a church. And I hope you have, and very likely you have. But I'm just saying that you don't hear it often. So when Jesus took Peter, James, and John, to the Mount of Transfiguration, was the time of the passing into the new kingdom, which Jesus had told the disciples about. And he also said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And he wasn't just talking about heaven, because he said also, I'm preparing for you a new kingdom, which we would begin to live right here on earth in the ways that I'm saying to you now. And then let me tell you something. I didn't have time to find all the addresses. But the scripture also says that there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And see, the wonderful thing is that Peter said that there's going to be a new earth, and this earth is vanishing away, and the clouds will be rolled back like a scroll. There's going to be a great happening one of these days. And the earth is going to be renewed, some have it. Others that it's going to be removed and another one put in its place. You'll find this three or four places in the scripture, also in the book of Revelation. Now, I'm telling you where the scriptures are, and then I want to tell you just a little bit about it. Because if I didn't give you the scripture first, you'd say, did you make that up? How many of you know the scripture says that there's going to be a new earth? How many of you know that? Okay. And there's even going to be a new heaven. And in Revelation 21, 1 through 3, listen to this. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And I think it's Peter who said, seeing that these things are passing away. The climate change people are trying to have all the answers. They might read the book and rethink some things. It's whatever happens, not going to be any surprise to God. Because he's already said that then there will be no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem. This is a very interesting part of the scripture. Coming down from God out of heaven. Now the scripture says when Jesus returns, he's going to bring the saints with him. One scripture says he's going to bring all of them. That'll be a crowd. He's going to bring all the saints with him. Jesus is going to return. He's going to bring the saints with him. Now think with me. He's going to rule with the saints on this earth 1,000 years. That's what your Bible says. Oh, I've had it with earth. I don't know if I want any more of that. How about a new earth? How would that be? How about if we did it God's way? How about if we were ruling and reigning? I tell you, there's a lot more hope in the future than there was in the past. God's got a whole lot that he wants to give his people and he wants to show us. His scripture is always about kings and keys. and ruling, and God is beginning to show us how these things were passed on to us. Listen to this now. Coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride for her husband. Now, how can a city be prepared as a bride? And when you really stop and think about it, your imagination gets overwhelmed. But, and I heard a great voice out of heaven say, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." That's just the first three chapters of Revelation 21. You ought to read it sometime to lift you up out of the mully grubs of today. I agree with you. The very best the world has to offer is pretty boring. But we're talking about a new earth. But I want to tell you about this new Jerusalem. The scripture gives the dimensions of the new Jerusalem. And I figured out one time that it was as wide and as tall as the distance in width would be from the Mississippi River to the Atlantic Ocean. And it's that tall as well. I guess that's how I wanted to say it. Now, I don't know if you want to live housed up with that many Christians or not. But see, they're going to be different Christians. It's going to be a whole new day. Because see, you know, there's coming a resurrection. And you know, God, there had to be a resurrection because God had to get what was left of your body out of its grave. How many of you know this? On resurrection day, he's going to call forth those that have died in the Lord. That's what your Bible says. Now, Spurgeon says that your parts, your visible parts, are held in custody, waiting for the resurrection day. I guess he's just talking about some of the molecules and all. That you'll get some of your real body in there. The point is, it would be nice to have a body to serve him in for all eternity, wouldn't it? And you'll be given, by the way, you were singing about that this morning when I came in. And I used to sing another song, "Have a new body, praise the Lord, I'll have a new life." Yeah, have a new body, have a new life. And we sing things like that, but do we really believe it? Well, I'll tell you, the alternative is a whole lot worse.
Yes, it is.
What if there's not any of this I'm talking to you about? Then you just die and it's over. That's what the heathen believe. But thank God, because of Jesus and the resurrection, he's going to return again. The scripture says he went to heaven in the same body that he rose up out of the earth, a glorified body. It was not like this physical body, but it was a spiritual body. He came back to earth in that body. He could, according to the scriptures, walk through walls and things like that, but he could also eat. What a wonderful body. But you haven't said that about yours lately. Is it marvelous to think about touching into God in such a way? And this third verse right here in Revelation 21 says, "I heard a great voice out of heaven, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men." That's the holy city. And he dwelt with them. He's going to dwell with the people of God. And they will be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. It's not nearly as, mystical as it might seem to some of you who think, well, that's just I don't know if I could believe that or not. A lot of people like to spiritualize the Bible. That keeps it from being tangible, physical, real. But he made a real earth and he put us on it. And then he corrected Adam and Eve's failure because he still wants to have a people that will represent the kingdom of heaven and that will bring what heaven is like to this earth. And that's why we pray, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Come, kingdom of God. Be done, will of God." It doesn't say, "Help me to come." It says, "Come, kingdom of God." He's calling for the kingdom of God to take up a reality in this earth. Now, as far as I can say by the scriptures that we are given, until such time as Jesus is ready to return, we walk the walk of the kingdom lifestyle. And the more we walk it, the more powerful we become in it. The more you learn how to pray for the sick, then the more you are healing the sick when Jesus returns, and you just keep on up with what he has taught us to do before he ever got here. Isn't it amazing how closely he connects us with him and his kingdom, even though he's there and he's here? It's a wonderful thing to know that we're going to be a part of his kingdom forever. I really do believe that you can teach the things that I'm teaching you without being a doctrinal knucklehead. Right. I think that you can teach the things that are important and real and true and to be held up to us, and that we are encouraged to be a part of. Some of the things we don't know. The scripture says we just know prophecy in part when we prophesy. So how are we going to know about all these end time things? We know in part and we prophesy in part. And about these things here, there are some things that we can know, but because he says it in plain words. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I have planned. So I want you to take this home with you today. I want you to take you home. Oh, please, I only have enough food for three. Don't take me up on that. I want you to take home with you today that it is the Father's good pleasure to give me the kingdom of God. That's what it says. It's the Father's good pleasure to give me the kingdom. Well, then why am I stuck with all this, that, and the other? So you can improve it and bring the power of the kingdom of God to bear upon it in every way that he's given us power to do it. And you can, anyone who's ever been in our home, I'm talking about ministry kind of people who feel the liberty to say it will say, "I just feel such peace in your home." That's because we don't fight in the times when they're not there, see? We got some leftover peace we can share with them. Right. And for example, even Victor told me, "You know that you have an angel that hangs around here, right?" I have been told that. He said, "I just saw him." He just sees angels, Victor does. Pray for God to show you angels. Ask him to show you your own guardian angel, whatever. But the good news is that God wants to give you the kingdom. He says, after men hear the kingdom preached about, they're pressing to enter into it. Some people, even some Christians, are still pressing to enter in everything but the kingdom. Hello? So I'm preaching this so you'll know to press into the kingdom. Be pressing into the kingdom. Don't be struggling all the time to try to get into something and do something else and something else. Some people, I think they're poor little kids that wear their legs to nubs trying to do everything. You can't do everything. Everybody say this, you can't do everything.
You can't do everything.
And if you and your children will choose a few quality things to do and enjoy them, you'll have a richer and fuller life. The world's told you you have to do everything. You have to do everything. You have to eat everything. No, you don't. That's why 50% of our nation is overweight. And they put it on TV, and people think you have to eat it just because you saw it on TV. Or whatever clothes you saw there, no matter how weird they look, you have to wear them because they're on TV. I like to buy clothes that I think are nice looking and that might make me look better. I don't want to go the other way. But if you get into that, I mean, they've got a little bit of everything. I saw this man one time. It was at a conference, and he was just crossing the street. And I looked twice because, honestly, I thought I'd seen a reincarnation of Peter Pan. And just, I mean, he was at the Christian conference. I'm saying, we're not slaves to what the world has. We are here as citizens of the kingdom of God. Say, I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God. And Paul said, we entreat you as citizens of the kingdom of God that you receive Jesus, that you receive his kingdom, and that you know that you are a part of the kingdom of God. Or I'll tell you what people most often don't know. They really don't know that the Lord's been working to get his kingdom here since Adam and Eve. How many of you knew that? Just old stuff to you. You've always known that. Yeah, Joan's always known it. So, and so he has always, he always wants to let his people share in his kingdom. He even says that we will sit on thrones. I think you either believe this and rejoice and think it's good enough to want to turn flips over, or you just brush it off and say, Pastor will be okay tomorrow. She ate too much pizza yesterday or something like that. So anything that I've shared with you today, you can find it right in the scripture. And you know why we don't know more about these things? Because the devil does his best to keep us away from it. And the more you learn things like this, the more you'll press to enter into it. So, amen, how many of you say, I want to live a kingdom lifestyle?
Amen.
Well, I'll tell you, it's not going to be very American.
No, it won't.
The attitudes are going to be more loving. You know, the things that you go after, the things you love, they're going to be different. It'll call for a change. But in the end, if you will seek the kingdom first, he will add all these things you think you just got to have, just got to have, just got to have it. I told you that my mother took me to her Pentecostal church. I'm grateful for it because I learned so many things I wouldn't have learned otherwise. So I got under conviction one time. And I told her, because no going to movies at all in their Pentecostal church. Probably they couldn't even go if it was about Jesus. I don't know. But you just couldn't go in a theater. But I was under conviction. But I heard that Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs was coming to town. So, you know, I was a pretty small child. I didn't really believe in Santa Claus till I was 12 like John did. No, I'm just kidding. But he was pretty old. Did you know that, Sam? He was 8 or something. He was way on up there. But, you know, John, he can believe some good stuff. So at any rate, because God gives us things that we can have, don't think it's too good to be true. Oh, I forgot to tell you what I said to my mother when I got under conviction. So I said, Mom, I've made a decision. I am going to get saved as soon as I see Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. I'll tell you a little something is that some of our adult ideas of God's things aren't much larger. You know, we got little pigeonholes, and this will be terribly wrong, and that'll probably be, we don't know, you know, don't know that we have a God of grace. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. What he's really into is he's not really wanting to take you to heaven right away, but he is wanting to get you to bring the kingdom of heaven here on earth by your kingdom lifestyle and by the faith that all the wonderful things he promised. Now, and we're going to take a look at some of the things where Jesus says the kingdom is like. And see, Jesus will tell you what the kingdom is like. And one of the things the kingdom is like, you know, wheat and tares. Just, and I'm finished, just tell you this. The wheat and the tares, he says, just leave them. He said, this is like the kingdom, Jesus did. Just leave the wheat and the tares. The disciples said, let's get rid of the tares. You can learn so much, especially from reading the parables. Okay, so the disciples say, let's kick out the tares. Let's have a church for a membership of seven. You know, where everybody is just like us on the way to heaven. Hey, that'd make that's a rock and roll song if I ever heard one. And so if you understand then that if you leave the tares, he says, and then when the judgment, the angels come, they will. Some power of God will take out those that aren't supposed to be there. So we don't have to worry about taking out the tares, so we don't have to be judging them all the time, do we? Yeah, that person could be a tare, could be. Never judge them. Don't know. We know now that we have to judge if someone is, of course, living some wicked life. You don't allow them to stay in your midst. There are scriptures like this. And there are times for discipline. But if the kingdom is really like giving a lot of people the opportunity to come in and leave it to the angels to judge, or leave it to times of judgment when God is judging between sheep and goats. Well, he's a great God. He's called us to a great future.
Yes, ma'am.
And I challenge you to get as much kingdom reality under your belt as you can before Jesus returns. I'm just going to predict. This is just an opinion. But the more that you've studied and accomplished and learned, then the nicer place of ruling you're going to start out with. In his kingdom. As you rule and reign with him on this earth. How many of you believe this?
Amen.
You believe you're going to rule and reign with him on this earth? That's good. That's not too bad. How many of you really believe that? You're afraid to raise your hand because you'll think somebody will think you're conceited or whatever. You don't want to be on the other side of that.
No.
So I'm so thankful that God has held a wonderful future out for us. And I think that we haven't really understood nearly enough how Jesus wants us to live because we don't understand the kingdom, right? He will say, the kingdom of heaven is not like this. You and your judges do this, but the kingdom is not like that. So as we study this, you're going to find more and more out how to live God's way right here on earth, right in the midst of the wickedness. You let your light shine.
Amen.
Don't put your light under any kind of bushel and hide it. Amen? Thank you, Lord. We just come and say thank you for your glorious kingdom. Thank you for kingdom reality. Thank you that you called us. Thank you that you called us to be born again so that we could spend eternity with you in your wonderful, lovely kingdom. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to have your way on this earth. You're going to have your way in heaven. Thank you that you made all of these things because of the marvelous future that you have determined. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you give us the keys of the kingdom, that we will know how to operate in your glorious kingdom. And we say to you today, Lord, that's what we want. We want to know, we want those keys, and we want them working in our lives. Thank you, Lord, that it is your good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Will you stand in his presence just a moment? Is there anyone here before we leave this morning that you'd love to be a part of his kingdom both now and looking into the future, looking into forever? I want to be with him. I want to be a part of what he's doing. Is there anyone here today that says, this sounds so wonderful, but I have not given my heart and life to him, and I want to do that? Would you bow your hearts in his presence today? And if you want to lift your hand and say, Pastor, I want to surrender my life. I want to be a part of that glorious kingdom, and I want to be a citizen of the kingdom right here on this earth now that will lead other people into his kingdom. Lord, will you take my life? Will you let me? Give me grace to receive all you did for me on Calvary. Or if you have never given your heart to the Lord, or if you need to return to him, it's a wonderful thing to return to Jesus when you've been away. Is there anyone who wants to lift your hand and say either, I want to come to him, give my heart to Jesus, and I want to be a part of his glorious kingdom, or I want to return to Jesus. I want to know that I have a future, that I have a wonderful and glorious future, and that my hope and my confidence in you. Everybody here, you know Jesus. I just always like to give an opportunity, because many times people wander through, and the thing that they need more than anything else is to receive Jesus. Amen? Amen. He's a great God. And greatly to be praised.